Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for blessing me. And Lord, this heat has been a hot mess. For some reason, I couldn't sleep. I thought I was in Texas, Arizona, hell, or somewhere, because this heat was driving me crazy. So I want to get on with the show. Now, today's show, this topic is about children of color and mental health. Now, when we talk about mental health, everyone deserves adequate mental health care. It is known that the mental health care system is flawed, which we know, and part of it the being flawed is a lot of individuals don't feel that they have, you know, access or whatever the reason for it or their interpretation of it being flawed. That's the feedback a lot of individuals would give. Now, it's hard, we know, for anyone, as we already know, to get proper mental health care in the United States, and it's even harder for minorities. Many experience issues with insurance, wait time, difficulties finding specialists, skyrocketing deductibles and copays, and issues with not being understood. Now, eliminating mental health disparities is something that someone indicated, and it was quoted by Regina Bussing and Faye Gary, as they indicated that they wanted this to be eliminated by 2020 because everyone's actions matter. Now, the month of July was designated by minorities, well, not by minorities, but it was designated to be Minorities Mental Health Awareness Month in 2008. And it's interesting because this was done in 2008. I didn't hear nothing of the such until 2018. So this has been going on for 10 years, so I guess I'm behind the mark. Now, such as to bring an awareness to the unique struggles that underrepresented groups face in regards to mental health. Now, today we're doing a call in regards to focus on children because part of the concern has to do with the stigma regarding mental health, intimidation that many parents face, lack of resources, knowledge, and trusting individuals, especially when it comes to their children. Now, according to the APA, the federal government has a critical role to play in addressing the issues of racial and ethnic disparities in mental health status and mental health care. Now, we want to make sure that everybody is doing their part because we have what's called a moral responsibility, especially the more that we are aware that information is out there and is available to us. So there's really not a reason for us to just sit back and do nothing anymore because everybody matters. So if you want to join in on a conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914. Again, to call in, to join in on this conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914. Now, I want to say, it's interesting because when I put out the information for this show, I went onto my LinkedIn account because I know that a lot of individuals out there in the professional field, we have all the social media information, and I was looking at a lot of things that individuals are doing within the community. There's also an event that I am scheduled to attend in Orange County that is addressing minorities and mental health awareness. And even though we talk about minorities, we're talking about the numbers. We're talking about the race, the class, the socioeconomic status, and things of that nature. So I want to commend all of you individuals that are out there that is taking part and doing your part as it relates to this topic. But I also want to share something when I put the information out there because sometimes we think that people are just not going to always, you know, be nice or have something to say, but in regards to being kind, but sometimes that's not always the case. So I'm trying to find this message that I received because it had a lot to do with when I put the information out there. I'm trying to see. I don't think she sent me a message. I think she kind of posted it on my page as I was sharing the information. And then I sent it to my auntie, who I call my auntie my Facebook police, because whenever something go out there that I don't understand, she always, or I send it back to her. And I misspoke. It wasn't on my Indeed. It was on my Twitter account. So let me take that back. So basically when I put it out there that July is National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and it talked about the top mental health issues in children had to do with the issues of children in color. And I indicated the three top mental health issues that individuals of children of color face. One of them is major depression, ADHD, suicide, and PTSD, basically just to name a few. So when I put the information out there, the lady responded back to my tweet, and she said, if mental health by itself is taboo, it must be a whole new dimension for minorities. Now, I answered her question because I do my best when individuals say something good, bad, or indifferent to respond, because I don't want to put information out there and then be the first one to kind of like throw a stone and then go turn around and hide my tail. And basically what I told her was, I can speak for myself. Growing up in Compton, until I was an adult, I was blind about mental health and thought what was considered to be trauma as a normal way of life as I was growing up. Now I have the ability to educate and teach others. Because when I grew up, we would call people crazy, but we really didn't know what was going on. We either looked at them as being drug addicts or alcoholics. And some of this stuff we thought was normal. We didn't know about if you were depressed, most people went to church, or they would say they were feeling blue, but we really didn't have no concept of what that meant, nor did I even know where a person could even go to get any help. So the lady responded back to my response, and she said, you deserve a big pat on the back. I have a misrespect for people who understand that don't understand a certain thing. Go back to educate themselves and come back to ignite minds. Power to you. And I just want to say I appreciate her response, and I did tell her thanks, because a lot of times we walk around with this big old ego thinking we know everything, and sometimes we don't. So I did want to put that out there. Now, my mouth is getting dry, and the young lady that was supposed to join me, two other therapist. I haven't heard from them yet. So again, if you want to join in on this conversation, give me a call, 516-387-1914. Now, I want to give some information, and when we were talking about how that according to the APA, the federal government has a critical role in addressing the issues of racial and ethnic disparities and mental health status and mental health care. A lot of times we like to point the finger at individuals. And when we talk about the disparity, I want to go into some information that I want to share with you guys, because when we talk about things of that nature, and mental health needs is significantly higher amongst at-risk groups of children, youth from a minority background. So that's where that comes from. Now, the disparities remain in mental health status and care for racial and ethnic minorities, youth, despite national attention to disparities reduction. Now, the major areas of youth mental health prevention of problems for needs of service, access to care, types of treatment, and outcome factors in families, communities, and socioeconomic factors is an issue. But they indicate that the definition, according to the National Institute of Medicine, describes a health service disparity as differences in treatment are accessified by the differences in the health status or preference of the group. When we talk about even just the prevention of mental health problem, it has to be linked, or it has been linked, to negative outcomes, including poor social mobilities and reduced social capitals. And there are ways to prevent this, which is one of the reasons why we like to bring a sense of awareness to the table, because I always say, when you know better, you do better. Now, throughout this show, and the goal of the show is, like I said, I want individuals to call in. If they need to be linked with someone, we will do our best to do so. If you have a question about some symptoms that your child may be demonstrating, I want to make sure that we're able to address that. Because a lot of times we are so afraid as parents, we go into denial when we see that our children may be exhibiting certain behaviors. And I always, because I am a licensed therapist, I work out of 5 office locations. I have an office in Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, and I'm also in the Marietta area with one of my, I call her my sister from another mother, Dr. Lisa Romaine. Now, when I'm doing therapy, I get calls from parents for a lot of different things. Sometimes it's behavioral problems. Sometimes it's mental health problems. Sometimes it's more, we're even just dealing with behaviors or problems at home or problems at school. But part of me working with children, I always tell the parents that in order for me to help the child, I also have to help the family and the parents. Now, when we go into this and talking about how to not only just to educate, but also to provide resources, but also one of the things is to prevent what has happened in the past from happening is address the discriminations, the acculturations, and immigrations, because you got individuals coming from all over the world, and we all have our own belief systems when it comes to certain things. And I want to say, I remember my daughter telling me how, I remember we were kids growing up in Compton, my mother used to use Dr. Tishman for everything, and we thought Dr. Tishman could just work miracles. Now, we didn't try Dr. Tishman on mental health issues, but we tried him with flea bites and whatever was wrong. If you had a cold for hot toddy, we would definitely use some Dr. Tishman. It took my daughter telling me, Mom, you know your family was crazy because you guys was basically worshiping mouthwash. I didn't know that Dr. Tishman antiseptic was mouthwash because we thought it was a remedy. So that was part of my acculturation things because it was part of my culture. Now, number 2, address the stigma of mental health conditions and services. There is a stigma, because years ago, a lot of parents was very concerned because their children were diagnosed with ADHD. They was given Ritalin. A lot of parents was afraid that if their child took Ritalin, that they would wind up on some type of street drugs by using methamphetamines. And I want to say that is a stigma, because that is so not true. But if your child is demonstrating different types of symptoms, you do want to get your child assessed. And a lot of parents are afraid. Now we're dealing with not just the ADHD, but now we're dealing with autism and Asperger's, where before when we were looking at Asperger's or autism, especially autism, what we saw, I want to say 15, 20 years ago, is totally different from what we're seeing now. So we do have to educate ourselves and, you know, basically have our child or our children and even our teens evaluate it. Another one is increase the number of ethnic and racial minorities that provide mental health services. For many of you that don't know me, I am of African-American descent. And the one thing I like about my LinkedIn account is I love the fact when I get to see people of my own out doing things, because I believe that part, and I tell people all the time, if I needed to go to get therapy, I wouldn't even know who to talk to, because I don't think that anyone would really understand the issues that I deal with on a day-to-day basis or that I have dealt with within my childhood. So seeing other people of color. And that doesn't mean that they may understand, because part of it is also to educate the individual about what you're going through. But at least sometimes you feel more comfortable. But I also want to throw it out there, because I remember when I first went into private practice, I've had individuals that were of African-American descent walk in my office, look at me, and turn around and walk out. So I'd be like, oh, well. So part of that, we do need to work on that. But I do want to say, for my sisters and brothers that are out there doing this work, I am very proud of you for educating yourself and wanting to help those, and especially those that you may be able to help the most are the people that looks most like you. Now, again, if you have any questions or you want to call and join in on this conversation, give me a call, 516-387-1914. Okay. I want to give the listeners some information in regards to when we're talking about a promoting positive mental health amongst racial, ethnic minority, and children, and ensuring enhancing services, programs, and resources. Now, this is from the American Psychological Association, and one of the things that they indicate when we start talking about educating individuals, because like I said, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. They focus on the racial, ethnic disparities and use of the mental health system services, and they indicate that African Americans and Hispanic or Latino children have 1.5 to 3 times greater odds of having an unmet mental health need than white children. Now, the odds of having an unmet mental health need, African-American, they're showing it, the white, the Latinos, and then the whites, and they show the numbers. Now, they have some stories that kind of go on into some of the things that they're talking about. And I indicated as I was talking about how to prevent this from happening, but before I even speak on that, I want to say that they indicate that one way to think of mental health of children is that it's like the levelness of a piece of furniture, such as a table, and that levelness can depend on the table, the floor it's on, or both. Just as levelness allows the table to function properly, mental health of a child enables a child to function well in many different areas. Some children's brain develop in the context of healthy, supportive relationship with access to things like good nutrition, health care, and for other children, their brains develop in an environment of toxic stress and without access to key services, programs, and resources. These children's brains, as we indicate, are like table, can make themselves where they get to the point to where they need access to these services, programs, and resources that address the levelness and stability. Now, presently, not all children are connected to high-quality services, programs, or resources that foster healthy environments. So this is especially the case for racial and ethnic minority youth, including African Americans, Black, Hispanic youth, which are the main two that they focus on. And a lot of times, even when you're dealing with trauma. Now, when I indicated earlier about how to promote healthy environments for positive mental health in the racial, ethnic minority children, I talked about address discrimination, acculturation, and immigration. Now, the perceived discrimination amongst racial and ethnic minority youth and acculturation among youth who are at recent immigrants contribute to the mental health function and mental health services and programs that address discrimination, acculturation, immigration are important to promoting positive mental health and racial and ethnic minority youth. Now, we just saw on the news where a lot of these children that was taken away and removed from their parents. Now, that is trauma. I don't care how you look at it, it's traumatizing for children. Many of those children were probably demonstrating symptoms of depression because their parents were taken away, anxiety, meaning when am I going to see my parent again, and younger children can experience symptoms of failure to thrive. There's a lot of things that can happen psychologically with children, and these are things that sometimes kids may not know how to use their words, but as a parent, you want to make sure that you can advocate for your parents and not be afraid, advocate for your child and not be afraid to try to reach out to someone and get them their help. So that's one thing we talk about, that area. Now, when I talked about address the stigma of mental health conditions and services, now we know that stigma related to mental health conditions and services is a major barrier to the use of mental health services and programs. But the one thing is, programs that reduce stigma should be implemented, especially those that include testimonies from individuals who have used mental health services. I always tell my clients when they come and see me and they think it's a form of punishment, that I'm not here to punish you. I'm here to help you, to basically help you get to where you are trying to go. And a lot of times individuals don't want to feel judged. They feel shame. They're going through a lot of different emotions, and they may not know how to express that. But I want to say, let's do better with reducing that stigma. And then goes back to, again, when I talked about increase the number of individuals that are in this field to provide mental health services, racial and ethnic minority families often prefer to have mental health services providers of their own race or ethnicity. Mental health services and programs with diverse workforce may be viewed more favorably by racial and ethnic minority youth and their families. Now, international recruitment of racial and ethnic minorities and mentoring programs are successful strategies that increase the diversity of the workforce. Now, I want to say, and it's interesting with me being in Orange County, there's not that many African Americans in Orange County. So I'm not going to sit here and tell that story that I have a high population of African American clients, because I don't. Because I feel that I can reach individuals from all walks of life. However, if there are African Americans out there that are looking for some services, I want to say there are resources. They have it's a website. It's Therapies for Black Girls. They have different types of websites that you can look through that you have access to if you're looking for different types of therapists, whether it's a male, whether it's a female. You know, some of them show different pictures. So that kind of helps individuals as they're on their quest for getting some type of services. Now, I indicated earlier, and I was talking about the minorities in regards to, even though this is an awareness month, minority youth rarely get help for mental health problems nationwide, which a study indicated. Now, this study was written a while back, but it says that black children and young adults are about half as likely than their white counterparts to get mental health care despite having similar rates of mental health problems. And they wanted to know why. But the study used data on children under 18 and young adults 18 to 34 from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey from all 50 states in the United States. And they found that minorities receive much less of virtually all types of mental health care, including visits to psychiatrists, social workers, and psychologists, as well as substance abuse counseling and mental health counseling by pediatricians and other doctors. Now, I want to say this. A lot of times, even when I get phone calls from individuals, they really don't even know what type of therapist or who to even ask for. MDs, as we know, are basically more general practitioners. They have individuals that specialize in certain things. But there's a lot of different types of doctors out there. Psychiatrists administer medications. Psychologists do psychological testing. OCSWs normally work in a hospital clinical setting. And licensed therapists, marriage family therapists, we normally work with individuals with mental health needs and with families. Now, I have a call, so let me log this caller on.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not like an outdoor location, so there's a little background noise.
Okay. Now, do you have a question for me?
I didn't hear much of the show, but can you tell me about what are you talking about with the psychological stuff? What are some of the stuff that you're seeing in people? Like, 'cause I'm sitting out here, and some guy just walks up to me, and he's just walking around me in a circle for about 20 minutes, and I just pull out my Bible, and, you know, I call the prayer line, and I just commanded that thing to just go, because I didn't know, or, you know, like, move from my presence. I had no idea. I started feeling like some kind of bad vibes. I don't know if that was, like, something kind of like if it was mental or if it was more like a spiritual thing, you know, so.
Well, you know what? In that type of particular situation, I really wouldn't know because I do two different shows. Now, on Tuesdays, I'm on the air with Pastor Dan Estelle, and we talk about a lot of things in regards to believers and non-believers. But today's topic has to do with children of color and mental health, as the month of July is National Mental Health Awareness Month for minorities to basically end the taboo, end the stigma, so that individuals can have better access to mental health services. Because a lot of times individuals, they're either afraid, they don't know how to go about accessing mental health services. So during the month of July, there have been several different organizations that have been getting together to provide those type of services. Now I have another caller on the line. Let me log this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing okay. Do you have any questions, or how would you like to add to this topic?
Well, I think that Satan is a good man.
Ooh, okay. They kind of hung up. They said Satan was a good man, I guess. Okay. All right. So getting back to what I was talking about, as we talk about in regards to accessing mental health services, one of the things that they found is when we're talking about accessing the psychiatric services, they found that there were 47% and 58% had fewer visits to mental health professionals than their counterparts. They found that minority children use low services was not due to lesser need, but that they had the similar rates of mental health problems. But the problem was they found that there was more episodes that resulted in psychiatric hospitalizations or emergency visits. They found that also minority parents reported less mental health impairment among their children, but analysis that controlled for this lesser need of care continued to show underuse compared to their counterparts. Now, when we start talking about, you know, whether boys or girls or things of that nature, one of the things that we found, too, is when you go to juvenile hall or you go to jails or prisons, you normally see more minorities incarcerated than their counterparts. And a lot of times when we're talking about these behavioral problems, or whether it was trauma or PTSD or depression or anxiety, and I haven't even touched on the suicidality part, if individuals had better access to mental health treatment, that will probably reduce a lot of those behaviors. Now, so the one you're still on the line talking about what happened to you when a person walked around in circles in front of you, is that person still there? Hello?
Excuse me. What did you just call me? Because that is not my name.
I said, sir. I said, excuse me.
Well,
sir.
My name is Francis. You can call me Francis. And
okay,
there's
Francis.
A lot of solutions.
Okay, Francis, you got to go because I didn't know your name was Francis. Okay. So, getting back to what we're talking about in regards to trying to find some help. Now, we are more than halfway in the show, and again, if you want to call in because you want to share or you have some questions as it relates to children of color and mental health, feel free to give me a call at 516-387-1914. I only ask that you be respectful and that you, if we have more than one person on the line, that we speak one at a time. so that individuals can get their needs met. And I also indicated that if you want to send me an email, as you may not feel comfortable talking on the air, you can email me at jabneylmft@gmail.com, and I will do my best to answer your questions or link you with someone that may be able to help you. Now, in regards to some of the information that I have, because I did a lot of going online and trying to find information that's out there, that's available, to try to give individuals a place to start when we're talking about mental health. Now, I want to start by saying this, and even though it's not that I'm trying to just make it a black and white matter, when I say minorities, I'm talking about in numbers. So when we talk about that, why does mental health matter? Without mental health, we cannot be healthy. Any part of the body, including the brain, can get sick. We all experience emotional ups and downs from time to time caused by events in our lives. Now, mental health conditions go beyond these emotional reactions to specific situations. There are medical conditions that causes changes in how we think, how we feel, and how it relates to our mood. These changes can alter your life because it can make it hard to relate to others and function the way we used to. Now, without proper treatment, mental health conditions can worsen and make day-to-day life very difficult. Now, if you feel that you or a loved one might be experiencing a mental health condition or your child is experiencing a mental health condition, remember that these are biological brain disorders and anyone can develop a mental health problem. Remember, it isn't your fault or your family's fault, because a lot of times we like pointing the blame by saying, you know, their daddy was this, their mama was that, or they were alcoholics, or they were used drugs. So we need to go get out of pointing the finger at someone and make sure we try to get individual the help that they need. Because seeking treatment can help you live a fulfilled life and can strengthen you and your family for the future. Now, how do mental health conditions affect the minorities and individuals of color? Although, like I said before, anyone could develop a mental health problem, but minorities sometimes experience more severe forms of mental health conditions due to unmet needs and other barriers. And they also indicate that minorities are 20% more likely to experience serious mental health problems than the general population. I indicated, and I was talking about the major depression is what? Now, when we talk about major depression is something that we really should not minimize, especially when it comes to our children. Because a lot of times when individuals start losing interest in things that they normally used to like, when they seem to be sad, when they're having these different thoughts, you want to make sure that you have in your child talk to someone, because with depressive disorders, frequently referred to as simple depression, it's more than just a feeling of sad or going through a rough patch. It's a serious mental health condition that requires understanding and medical care, because left untreated, depression can be devastating for those that have it and their families. Now, fortunately, with early detection, diagnosis, and treatment plan consisting of medication, psychotherapy, and healthy life choices, many people can get better. And it is also estimated that 16 million, as we know, adults can have depression, but I don't have the numbers in regards to children. But depression can present different symptoms depending on the person. For most people, it could be, like I said, change of sleep, change of appetite, lack of concentration, low energy, lack of interest in activity, hopelessness, or guilty thoughts, change in movements, physical aches and pains, and suicidal thoughts. There are several causes. It could be trauma, genetic, life circumstances, brain changes, or other medical condition. So, like I said, you want to make sure that you do get some help. Now, I have another caller calling in. Let me log this person on. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. What's up, baby?
Okay, I don't know why today people want to play, but hopefully you will use your regular voice. Today, I guess, is one of those days. So I'm going to fuss at my auntie because my auntie kind of put the information on the show, and we're getting all kind of stuff going on right about now. But it's all good. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all them evil spirits. So the next one is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder with the ADHD. Like I said, many years, individuals and parents was concerned about their kid having ADHD. We thought because they had difficulties focusing, had problems concentrating, and individuals was really, that was the buzzword back in the day. Now, with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, this is a condition which is characterized by inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. Now, ADHD is most commonly diagnosed in young people, and it can also, there's an estimate of 9% of children between the ages of 3 to 17 that have ADHD. Now, with treatment, people with ADHD can be successful at school. So that's one of the reasons for getting your child some help. Because if your child is having problems at school, you don't want the symptoms to continue or to be left untreated. Signs of attention, inattention include becoming easily distracted, jumping from one activity to another, becoming bored with a task quickly, difficulty focusing attention or completing a single task activity, trouble completing or turning in homework assignments, losing things such as school supplies or toys, not listening to or paying attention when spoken to, which is one of the things parents always say, my child never listens or my child don't pay attention to what I'm saying. So that kind of gives you some insight into what may be going on. So we start talking about not only just those things, daydreaming, difficulty processing information, and struggling to follow directions. Now, when we talk about the hyperactivity, fidgeting, squirming, having trouble sitting still, nonstop talking, touching or playing with everything, difficulties doing quiet tasks or activities, becoming impatient, acting without regard for consequences, blurting things out, difficulties taking turns, waiting or sharing or interrupting of others. Those are just a few. So, again, if you're noticing these things, especially in your children, you want to make sure that they are being properly addressed and assessed. Now, I want to take some time to focus on the suicide. And part of that is because that could be a show all within itself when we start talking about mental health issues. Because normally when we see suicidality, we kind of minimize it, some of us. Some of us don't know what to do. But I want to say, even if it's a child, if someone you know is in an emergency, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. And that is again, and it's 800-273-TALK or call 911 immediately. Because suicidal thoughts or behaviors are both damaging and dangerous and therefore considered a psychiatric emergency. Someone experiencing these thoughts should seek immediate assistance from health or mental health care providers. Having suicidal thoughts doesn't mean someone is weak or flawed, especially with kids. And when children, it could be that they're being bullied. It could mean that they're being abused at home, whether it's physical abuse, sexual abuse. It could mean a domestic violence could be going on at home. It could be a lot of stuff. But you have to know the warning signs. Because threats or comments about killing themselves, also known as suicidal ideation, can begin with seemingly harmless thoughts like, I wish I wasn't here, which we hear kids say quite a bit, or you like so-and-so more than you like me, but they can become more overt and dangerous. If you have a teenager and you're seeing an increase of alcohol and drug use, if you're noticing that your child is exhibiting aggressive behavior, if there's social withdrawal from friends, families, and the community, if you're noticing a dramatic mood swing, if they're talking, writing, or thinking about death, if they are impulsive, or you're noticing reckless behavior, you want to make sure you get them some help. There are imminent dangers. Any person exhibiting these behaviors should get care immediately. If you see someone, even if it's a kid, giving away their worldly possessions or, you know, trying to put their affairs together, if they're saying goodbye to friends and families, if you see a mood shift from despair to being calm, like, okay, everything's okay, if they're planning, possibly looking around to buy, steal, or borrow the tools they need to complete suicide, such as firearms or prescription medication, because you will notice that a lot of kids, they will either try to hang themselves or they will try to do it by way of taking pills. Now, risk factors for suicide. Researchers have found that more than half of the people, meaning 54%, who die from suicide do not have a known mental health condition. A number of things may put a person at risk, including a family history of suicide, substance abuse, intoxication, access to firearms, a series of chronic medical illness, gender, although more females than males attempt suicide, males are 4 times more likely to die by suicide, a history of trauma or abuse, prolonged stress, isolation, their age, a recent tragedy or loss. Now, I have another caller calling in. I hope this is not a prank call. Let me see. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Good.
I am doing well. Do you have any questions or comments as it relates to the topic regarding children of color and mental health, as the month of July is Mental Health Awareness Month for minorities?
Well, I just kind of wanted to say it's not exactly about that, but it's along the lines. I just wanted to kind of say that, you know, I had a friend and also actually a cousin. So I have two people that sadly committed suicide. And I just think that schools and really any major source of any type of education is not doing enough talk about this. And I think, like, I just wanted to really say that I love listening to this broadcast you're doing, especially how you handle the idiots that are calling in the last, like, 40 minutes or whatever. But I think that this is this broadcast is very helpful, not only to me, but for people, and it should be, you know, more common around families and that stuff that talk about this, because it's a big, big issue.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. But, you know, in a way, when I get individuals like that, I've learned not to let people affect me. I've learned that they're out there, and at least they're listening. So hopefully they'll catch on to something. So I look at it as a positive versus something being negative, because they're taking the time out of their day just to even call me to play on the radio. So I'm fine with that. So I always tell individuals, even when I'm doing therapy, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I'll make you thirsty. So as long as I put something on their mind, then I've done my job. That's all I can do, because I know that there's individuals out there from all walks of life. And part of this, when we're talking about mental health and access to treatment and resources, I may be the only resource that they may have. Who knows? So all I got to do is keep doing what I'm doing. That's all I can do.
Amen.
But I truly appreciate your comments in regard to that. And like I said, when we're talking about children, a lot of times we miss the mark of suicidality, especially in our kids. But I've been getting phone calls from parents as a therapist saying, my 2-year-old is depressed, my 3-year-old is depressed. And then my question to the parent is, what's going on in the home? because if there's been a recent divorce, if there's been a death of a pet or a family member, you know, grandma could be sick or passed away. Kids don't understand these things, and a lot of times they don't know who to talk to. Or people overlook their feelings and emotions because many adults don't know how to express their feelings or emotions either. So that plays a part in it too. And then when you get individuals, because words are powerful, if a person is saying to their kid these negative things, or the kid is feeling unloved, unwanted, or experiencing some type of childhood trauma, that plays a part in it too. And the schools really don't know what to do with those type of behaviors. So we do need to reach out and connect and educate, 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 and also give some examples. But by that same token, give resources. Because I shared, when I had got the feedback from the individual on Twitter, and she, you know, had responded to me the way she did, I wasn't offended by it. But I know me growing up in Compton and all the stuff that I saw, I didn't know nothing about mental health. I didn't know nothing about individuals being depressed or having anxiety or PTSD. It was just recently when I took the questionnaire, and it consisted of 10 questions, and I'm like, dang, I answered 8 out of 10. So I experienced childhood trauma, but I didn't even know it was trauma. I thought it was normal. I thought that everybody had experienced those type of things or went through those type of experiences. But sometimes you can look at it as a problem or a chance of a lifetime. The one thing that I do is I do my best to try to take what I've experienced, take what I've learned, to try to help encourage other people. Because sometimes we don't even know, we think it's normal, and it's not. So is there anything else you want to share with the listeners while you're on with me?
Well, thank you for that. That was really inspiring, and I thank you for letting me get on the show. And I hope for everyone listening out there, please, please, I cannot emphasize it enough, please talk to your children or find some way to communicate to really anyone, not just the children, but the parents or brothers and sisters, whatever, grandparents, great-grandparents, you know, babies, I don't know, or, you know, friends, whatever, that this is a big issue. And, you know, it's like screwing people up, for lack of a better term. And it's just awful. So, yeah, please, please do that. Amen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling. Now, we talked about the suicidality because, like I said, that is really big. Because a lot of times we miss it. We don't pay attention to whether our child's mood has switched from being happy-go-lucky to being depressed or being sad. And the other one was the PTSD. Now, as we know, PTSD is what's called post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of times individuals can be under a great deal of stress and not even aware of what their stressors are. And I don't mean a stressor just being that, you know, I don't want to do my homework or, you know, they made me sit by this person in class. But there can be a lot of other stressors. It can be financial. It could be, you know, just not even having their basic needs met. It could be witnessing a traumatic event. And sometimes it's even watching the news. When we watch television, that could be traumatic for a lot of individuals. And they can experience nightmares or have difficulties sleeping or, you know, become very clingy. So when we start talking about, or not only just talking about, or if someone has endured a traumatic event, even a car accident, we want to make sure that we are accessing and making sure that we are on top of those type of symptoms. I remember one time a parent came to me and thought that their child had Tourette's disorder, which was the motor and vocal tics as a result of a car accident. Now, some of the things we talk about, some of the childhood pervasive developmental disorders, whether it's, you know, motor tics, vocal tics, whether it's not even, I don't want to talk, go into the reactive attachment disorder, because there are so many childhood pervasive developmental disorders, but just I'm going to focus on the PTSD, because when we talk about the traumatic events, when we talk about going back again, grief counseling, something happened at school, you want to make sure you address the mental health part. Now, I'm going to go back to, and like I said, the sense of awareness. a lot of times, in order to be aware of something, we may know it exists, we may see it, we may have heard it, but do we really understand it? Now, I indicated at the beginning of the show as they were talking about July being the National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month, and it wasn't known, or this was basically indicated by the U.S. House of Representatives proclaimed July as this special month in 2008, and I was like, wow, I didn't know that until 2018, 10 years later. So the aim is to improve access to mental health treatment and services through increased public awareness. And there are many organizations out there. Like I said, they've hosted a large number of events, which I will be going to one that they have going on in Orange County. And one of the things they want to do also is to eliminate the disparity in regards to how individuals are receiving assistance and how assistance is basically being given in a lot of different neighborhoods. So there are ways to get involved. One of the ways to get involved is through the National Minority Mental Health Awareness Month Facebook page they have out there, using tweets by tweeting the number sign, Minority Mental Health. You could take a pledge to raise awareness, which is what I've done. You can also, through the Mental Health Association, through the MHA, host a campaign to raise mental health awareness in marginalized and underserved communities, which is another thing that individuals can do. Now, those of you that don't know me know that I grew up in Compton, California, and whenever I'm in Compton, I always talk to individuals. I'm very friendly. I tell individuals, just because I'm the owner of two different corporations, I'm a licensed therapist, I'm a radio host, I'm still human. I'm still the same old Jeanette. I just went to a beach party over the weekend, which was fun. I really enjoyed it. So I want to say again, happy birthday to Glenn. I know when he saw me, he probably didn't even know who I was. But as you was walking around with your San Francisco 49er flag, you walk right by me. So I do try to make sure that I do participate when individuals are doing certain things in the community where I grew up at. Because a lot of times when I'm presenting this information, it was funny because Dana said, this is Jeanette. She's the one that's on the Willowbrook Facebook page. So thank you, Dana, because you were the first one that I noticed because it was dark and I couldn't see, even though Tiffany tried to ditch me, but it's okay. So getting back to this, again, with educating and a sense of awareness. So we want to break the stigma. We want to let individuals know that you do not have to be afraid. You do have to talk about it. If something or if you're feeling a certain way, let somebody know. Because keeping it to yourself is not going to help you. It don't just go away. You're not going to just say, okay, well, you know what, it's going to go away. I'm going to feel better tomorrow. I'm going to take me a nap. No. Reach out, speak up, and get you some help. And if someone come to you and they're sharing something with you, don't say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. Or if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Or tell them to either call 411. They have 211, which is also the crisis, not the crisis, but the access line for individuals in their neighborhood, in their community that can help you. So you can also go and talk to your doctor. Your doctor is a good place that may be able to give you some information or some resources in regards to how to be linked with someone. But like I said, you have to do something, because in order to end the disparity, in order to make the numbers line up, we're going to have to speak out. We're going to speak up. We've got to show up. We're going to have to do better in our homes and do better in our communities. Now, I'm looking at some information, and this is from Mental Health America, and they talk about minorities in American communities and mental health. And it says that Mental Health America works nationally and locally to raise awareness about mental health. We believe that everyone at risk of mental illness and related disorders should receive early and effective interventions, because historically, communities of color experience unique and considerable challenges and excessive mental health services. They indicate that 13.2% of the U.S. population identifies as Black, African American, and of those, 16% had a diagnosable mental illness in the past year. And that is over 6.8 million people. Now, I want to say this because when I, just a short story, when I moved from Compton to Oceanside, and I was dealing with a lot of different issues, I remember they tried to tell me that I had an adjustment disorder. Now, it wasn't that I had an adjustment disorder because I could always go back to Compton whenever I wanted to. I was only 85 miles away. But when I started experiencing things and I felt like I wasn't being treated fairly, they thought something was wrong with me. And it wasn't that something was wrong with me. It was all my life I was a straight-A student. I wasn't going to be one that was going to be bullied. I wasn't going to be one that was going to let somebody mistreat me. Even to the day, I am still the same way. But by that same token, if I would have listened to what the doctors were saying, they would have misdiagnosed me because I did not have an adjustment disorder. So when we start talking about the attitudes in regards to how this stuff is happening in regards to not only just the demographic and societal issues that individuals are having, but I want to go into the attitudes because according to a study conducted by Ward Wilshire, and they indicated that African Americans hold the belief related to the stigma, psychological openness, and help seeking, which in turn affects their coping behavior. Generally speaking, the participants in this study were not very open to acknowledging psychological problems, but they were somewhat open to seek mental health services. So you don't have to believe everything a person say, but do your homework, look it up, but be honest. I cannot stress that any more further than that, but you have to be honest. Don't go in there trying to trick somebody, manipulate someone to get some type of medication, but be honest. And they indicated that 30% of participants reporting having mental illness are receiving treatment for a mental illness, and minority African-American men are particularly concerned about the stigma. For some reason, a woman minority will go and get some help, but a male, it's even harder to push him to go get some help. Now, another thing that they noticed in regards to the attitude is that exposure to mental illnesses and increased knowledge of mental illnesses are factors which could potentially change the beliefs about symptoms of mental illness. And participants appeared apprehensive about seeking professional help for mental health issues, which is consistent with previous research. However, participants were willing to seek out some form of help. Now, they have different treatment issues. They also have access to insurance, which, you know, when we had Obamacare, which was interesting. I remember one time my daughter told me that she was at this clinic and a woman was complaining about Obamacare. And she said, I'm so happy that they done got rid of Obamacare, but I'm so glad I got the Affordable Care Act. My daughter said she just looked at the woman. And part of it is our ignorance, our fears, our ignorance, our biases. We need to do better. We really need to do better so that we can make sure that individuals have access to treatment, to services, to programs, and to get help. And I also tell my clients, too, I learn a lot from my clients. My clients help me to be able to help other clients, and I truly, truly appreciate them for that. Because even if you are in the professional field, you got to remember, you don't know everything. So sometimes the best teacher is the person that is experiencing it so that they can actually. I have 90 seconds left on the air. I want to thank those that are out there listening that really didn't want to say anything, but I appreciate you anyway. I want to thank those that called in that had something to share in regards to this. But July is not over, so we still have a couple of more weeks left in this month. So if someone in your neighborhood or your community is doing some type of outreach, please make sure you participate, whether you donate, whether you show up, whether you watch it on television or however you do it. But just make sure you're open-minded. because I want to make sure, like I said, when you know better, you do better. And this is a month that they've dedicated to it. So you can also, I want to give this out there, you can learn more about this important month by contacting also the Multicultural Action Center at the National Alliance on Mental Health, which is NAMNI, who says the symptoms provides poor care for everyone, but the care it offered is even worse for minorities, but they want to make sure that they're doing better. So, again, thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow I will be on the air with Pastor Dan Estelle from Higher Dominion Worship Center, and we're going to talk about being a man of God. And next Monday we're going to start the show a little later. We're going to start at 7 o'clock as I want to talk about is justice really for all, where I have a young lady who just indicated that her son is actually has been convicted of murder for a crime that he didn't commit and may be looking at 25 years to life. So I'm rallying up my troop to get them together so that we can help individuals that are dealing with the criminal justice system that don't understand the system in regards to is justice really for all. Again, thank you for joining me, Jeanette Abney, at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, remember, you got this. Bye-bye.